Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome back to The Shift. Dez here, and I'm just giving a quick intro to this episode, episode 6. Katie's in New York, and we chatted mostly about the difference between American and Irish men and women. We had a few bits of feedback putting that up as a topic, so we decided to discuss it here. We also discuss what I think is an interesting and important conversation about whether women should carry condoms regardless of whether the man has been responsible enough to bring one. And what does that say about a woman, or what should it not say about a woman? Judgments that people make, which I thought was a nice topic. We share a bit of general feedback from our listeners. We get into hairy legs as a chastity belt, which you'll find later on. And we do talk a lot about the difference between American men, Irish men, American women, Irish women, the amount of slagging, taking the piss that Irish people do versus American people, and who can handle that and who can't. And I think it's a fun ep. The main reason why I'm giving this intro, though, is it's the first episode that myself and Katie did via Skype, and I think it sounds okay. But clearly, it's not as good as when we're together. Have faith, I will get better at the technology of the Skype. And I nearly nailed it with this one. But due to unforeseen circumstances, I've had to use the Skype recording. Please don't judge me. Please do not leave a negative review on any of the podcast sites saying the sound is crap. It's not bad. It will get better if we ever do Skype again. Please enjoy the episode. I'll chat to you at the end, and it's been absolutely wonderful having you along for the ride. We start mid-chat, me and Katie discussing feedback from our listeners.
So I sent this bit of feedback to you, which I really liked. This is just general feedback. Somebody said, actually, I should have really kept the name on this one, but oh yeah, it's Kate Keed. On Instagram, and she sent us only on the second episode, but it makes me want to be more open with whoever I'm with so we can both enjoy everything more. Love the podcast so much.
I love that she said that, because even when you sent me that, I was thinking, even since we recorded that podcast, I've been more open. That's so great. That's exactly, I think that will, it makes sex and relationships so much better. So I'm delighted she took that from the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, if I had said before we started, what would be the top five messages you hope to receive from doing this podcast? This almost word for word would be exactly what I would hope people would get from it. And I don't want to make it seem like we think we're great or anything, because at the end of the day, all we're doing is just kind of sharing our own stories and our own opinions. However, I do think that if it makes people more comfortable with being open and exploring, then that is literally one of the top goals of the podcast. And I do think, even though I know we go on about it a lot, that that's probably more important in Ireland than it is in the States.
Yeah, and it's something I just learned from coming over here. I don't know if I would have learned it. I would have learned it back home, maybe, but I definitely think, yeah, I think for sure. agree.
Now, can I just throw something in the mix, which has to do with the fact that I gave my bedroom a serious clean during the week. And, you know, sometimes when you do these cleans, you come across stuff that you haven't seen in a long time. And for me, I often come across like the box of stuff that like I always sort of put things away. And it's almost like the rings of a tree, like each layer is sort of deeper and deeper into my life. But every now and then when I find this box, I have a go through it. And so I found pictures that it's not the first time I've seen these pictures since they were taken, but they were taken in Prague in the Czech Republic in like 1999 or 2000. I can't remember exactly when, but I remember that I was over there doing a show with Rich Hall, the comedian, and I stayed for an extra, the show was, it was only like, you were only meant to be there for a day or two, but I stayed for an extra week and I found the pictures that I had taken on like a disposable camera. You know, they're, you know, just like some of them were stuck together because it's fucking stupid damp in the house. Anyway, I've given way too much detail. Long story short, there was a few pictures and one of them was with this girl. She was a Swedish girl and she was the first woman I ever had sex with that had the condoms herself.
Okay.
And I always thought that was really interesting that she came from Sweden, from a society where they're just way more sexually open, you know, proper sex education. And she thought, I don't even think I had brought up like, will we have sex yet? You know, like I didn't even, honestly, in my mind, I never would have thought that sex was going to happen, you know? And she literally said, I have condoms. And I was like, oh, well, that really is fantastic.
Yeah, you're delighted.
The last thing I'll say, and then I'll let you run on this, okay?
Great.
In my life, I would say only 10 to 20% of the time have I been with a woman who had condoms herself. And I'm talking about in situations where sex is wanted by both parties. And obviously, somewhere in the back of their mind, they thought it might be happening, but they didn't bring condoms. And I'm not suggesting that that's not my responsibility, but I do always think it's interesting because women have way more to lose from the absence of condoms. So why is it that more women just don't have them? Katie?
What I'm going to say isn't fair, but I would have always, until recently, presumed that it was the guy's responsibility to get the condoms and pay for them and bring that to the table. And I just won't have sex with them if they don't have the condoms. But my American girlfriends here, like I've been over to some of their rooms or like when I was having a person visit me from a long distance thing, once my American girlfriend brought me over condoms and other ones, they have it in their room. So again, me and my Irish girlfriends would always think it's up to the guy to get the condoms. Now I'm speaking just for the people I know, but yeah, I would have always felt, and I would have been, if they came over and they didn't have one, I'd be like, go to the shop.
I've always felt it was my responsibility too. I'm not suggesting that it's not, but just because I saw that picture, it reminded me that she had them. And obviously it makes total sense because in actual fact, guys are unreliable. And two, whether it's their responsibility or not, I do think the consequences, certainly the fear would be that you will have to pick up the mess of doing something if you do something without them, or there's a greater risk that you'll be left on your own, or there's a greater risk that you'll be in more emotional pain, more stress. So surely more women should have a think about just having them just in case.
Yeah, no, I do agree. But also, as well, it comes down to just, I wouldn't know what condoms to get for some random lad. Like, what if you have like a huge penis? No, I didn't get a huge penis condom or what?
Yeah, it's really not that much variation on those things. I mean, you're very rarely going to encounter a scenario if you just get like the average Durex, you know? You know, one that you've seen a guy use before, it's very rare that it's going to be like, oh, no, sorry, I don't use them. I mean, I guess you'll get the odd guy that'll have like a latex allergy or something. But
yeah, then you should definitely bring it.
Yeah. And listen, worst case scenario, if you happen to have condoms and they're not the right condoms, he should have had them anyway. But, you know, just in terms of, well, I mean, I'm basically just putting it out there to you and the listeners And this is not in any way, shape, or form suggesting that I don't think guys should bring them. I think guys should. But I always wonder why, like, it, do you think some of it is that in some way it's suggestive if a woman has them, as if it's like, well, she, look at this dirty thing, was actually thinking she might have sex, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I guess that wasn't a thought that occurred to me. I just always, simple thought was that it's not my job, which now that you're saying it, I guess I am the one who would end up with the, but then I know myself, I just won't have sex. Like I've got great self-control, but like, yeah, for another person who might want to just go in the moment, yeah, you probably should just have them just in case. And like, it might be a bit embarrassing, to be honest, for girls back home going into the pharmacy, you know, all your mother and father's friends are there. Like, it is more, like, it's different. I can walk into any Rite Aid here. I could buy the most ridiculous stuff. No one's going to know me or see me again. So it's very easy for me to go and do it here. But sure, would I walk into so my family live in Longford now. Am I going to walk into the local pharmacy where my grandmother's friend still runs the cashier? And look, they'd be all proud that I'm buying condoms. They're a very supportive family. But I'm just trying to put my headspace in someone else who might be a bit...
Yeah, I know. And I mean, I get all that. But you're just given these scenarios where it's embarrassing to buy condoms, which, of course, is absolutely fine. But you know, more often than not nowadays, there would be a scenario where you would be able to buy them. And I do, I, you know, I get that.
Right, you can go to Boots and it's different. No, you're right. And I just haven't been home in a while. So it's hard for me to kind of put my, when I put myself to being home, I put myself to being in my, like my early 20s. So.
Yeah, I know. But let me just throw this at you then. Yeah. Like, so you say to yourself, well, I have self-control. But it's like, if the guy hasn't brought condoms, but you want to have sex, and then you're saying, well, I have self-control, I just won't do it if he hasn't brought them. Why would you not just make sure you have them so that you don't end up in a situation where you have to control yourself?
No, it's very true. And then it's not fair to say that someone else, I don't mean that someone else doesn't have self-control. I just kind of, I know.
That's okay. But I just mean for your scenario. Don't worry about that.
Look, I'm saying that I've had unprotected sex. So I'm just saying I've learned my lesson and I got such a fright out of it. So, you know, and if I had, and that wasn't not because of having condoms. Why was that? Oh, it was because an ex-boyfriend, he said that, you know, he couldn't keep it hard with the condom on. That was it. And I really wanted to have sex with him. So I just risked it. But yeah, I won't do that again. That was terrifying. So I'm no angel here.
I don't even just mean it in an Irish context, because often I've been with plenty of American women in my lifetime that didn't have them either. I guess I just was sort of curious about where, I mean, I personally think that there's, you know, sort of a number of factors in it. One is expectation of who's supposed to do what. Number two is perhaps the embarrassment factor that you said. Number three, I think, is also the fact that it makes some sort of a suggestion, like what kind of a woman would have these condoms. She's gone to a nightclub. She's met this guy. She says to the guy, have you got condoms? He says, no. She wants to have sex. She's like, I brought them. And then, you know, I guess they're concerned, you know, how that would make them look, you know, even though I think the girl that has the condoms not concerned about that. But I guess other people who might think, should I bring condoms just in case, might think, oh, well, that's a bad look kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, maybe. I have condoms now, actually, in my room, but that's just from a past relationship. So again, I didn't. Yeah, it is a really good thing, actually, to say. Just, I think you're right. Yeah, just everybody should just have them, just to be more safer. Because especially if you're drunk and you just kind of go with it, yeah, you would probably just. So I just don't drink a lot anymore as well. So yeah, I think you're right. It should be on responsibility on both.
Well, I just think it's a good thing to say. Just bring them. You know, you just never know. I mean, like, I have a joke in my show about how sex makes you change your mind about everything. It's from the period sex bit, you know, but mm-hmm. I add to it, you know, that feeling of, you know, when you're fooling around and you want to have sex, you say, have you got any condoms? Like, no, I don't have any condoms. Like, fine, we'll just fool around. And then 45 minutes later, you're like, fuck it, let's have a family. So you really do, you have to prepare for the fact that at 12 p.m., you'll be thinking, like, nothing's going to happen, or I have self-control and I'm not bringing condoms out. But at 1 a.m., when you're a little tipsy and you're horny as fuck and you're sitting there going, why the fuck doesn't this guy have a condom? Why not have the condoms for the sake of safety? you know?
And I think as well what you said, so you said that there might be a worry that you're like, that the woman's like, oh, I'm afraid he'll think I was expecting sex. So I guess that comes down to a bit of like, sometimes there's a bit of pressure for us not to feel, you know, it comes down to slut shaming, which I hate. I think you should be able to do whatever you want. But if you're worried about that, but sure, if you're already at the sex part, why are you worried? Of course you wanted to have sex, so it's totally fine I think definitely shouldn't have that worry about it, because
so I think everybody should bring condoms. And I think this is a good time to point out that this podcast is being sponsored by no, I'm only kidding, but we should really I do think, what's that, Katie?
My ex-Irish boyfriend, he came back this and we didn't have condoms, so we went to the bodega and the man put magnums on and we both laughed and laughed, and he said, did you not hear my accent? To one of those.
Just like a stereotype, I guess, you know, but anyway, that's pretty funny.
And it's funny because my ex-boyfriend is actually his father's from Jamaica, and then he started saying to the bodega man, he goes, well, I'm only half Jamaican, okay? So he was joking off that stereotype. He goes, the bad parts I got from the Irish.
Yeah, which, you know, it's funny because in the States they have the stereotype like the Irish aren't big. But actually, I mean, listen, I've been in plenty of showers. And
I'm big.
I've been in plenty of showers. I'm not talking about my own. Mine is average. I'm very public with that. But I've been in plenty of showers, like with many groups. And I've lived in Ireland, and like the Irish hold up pretty well amongst Europeans anyway.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think that's just a silly stereotype. It comes down to us again. There's so many Irish stereotypes over here, you know. So it's the same as stereotyping black men or Asian men. And they're all just, I don't even know where they get this. So, yeah, look, that's like you said, it's just silly stereotypes. And like any penis I've seen has been great back home, so well done, lads.
let's get into the topic, because I put it out on Instagram, you know, about people feel the difference between Irish men and Irish women, American men and American women, and I got a good bit of feedback. Before we get into any feedback, did you have some initial thoughts
on this topic?
Well, the fact that you're an Irish woman, you know, you spent the early part of your dating life in Ireland, and then you moved to America. I mean, there's definitely a big difference. What were some of the first things that jumped out at you when you got to the States?
Oh, it's so culturally different. I find. Okay, so when I came over, I found that, and again, please no one say that I'm generalizing, because I'm not trying.
You can chuck it out there, Katie, will you?
Here's my opinion. I found American men very sensitive, very, very open with their I don't know if it's down to fucking therapy here, but like just to spend the first day rambling on about their fucking problems. And I hadn't experienced that as much at home. And the first two guys I dated over here, within like a couple of weeks, I cried in front of me, and I hadn't expected that. And then one of them, this is so funny, right? So I texted him and I go, right, I'm on the way, put the kettle on. And when I got over there, he called me demanding. And I was like, I genuinely would try to, like, if someone says something, like, try to figure it out so we can fix it. And I go, look, I'm very sorry. No one has ever called me demanding before. How am I demanding? And he said, every time you come over, you say, put the kettle on. And I just feel like you're kind of bossing me around. And I was like, ah, no, look, I'm sorry. That's just something Irish people say. And yeah, why wouldn't you make me a fucking cup of tea if I'm coming over? Well, he was very found it very offensive for some reason.
Are you kidding me? Put the kettle on, and he said you're demanding.
Mm-hmm, I swear to God. And then I had to explain, like, oh no, that's just something when you come over to Ireland. But you know, because actually I have dated a few guys here. When I have gone over, they haven't offered me a drink or whatever. So again, that's a little culture. I don't know if that's a New York thing. But yeah, every time, because you know, when you call over to a friend's house, you'd say, I'm on the way, pop the kettle on. And yeah, he thought it was me.
Yeah, he doesn't eat that. I mean, that's just like that's a miscommunication. Put the kettle on. That's like saying, like, how's it going or what's happening?
Yeah, but I also do mean put the kettle on. Like, if I'm coming over, why the heck wouldn't you make me a cup of tea? Like, that's the minimum I'm asking for.
You've already learned that the whole, like, let's have a cup of tea thing is not an American thing. That's a very Irish thing.
Yeah, it is. And I think, I love that about Irish culture. I love
You know, you got to understand that these Americans don't have electric kettles. So it seems like a bigger task for this guy. He's like, so this fucking bitch is coming over here. I got to fill up this fucking kettle, turn on the range, and then wait for this thing to whistle.
Yeah, you know, like I'm really asking for a lot here.
No, Jesus Christ. I hope you blew him for all that effort that this guy had to do.
Unfortunately, at the time, I didn't have a lot of standards, so I did. But
yeah.
There was another guy who was like a hipster Brooklyn guy, and he was like, you know, talking about like the world and stuff, and then he started crying about it. And again, I would have never experienced that in Ireland. Like even me, when I would cry, my dad would be like, crying's not going to solve anything. So I think there's like a tougher... And then a lot of first dates I've had... On first dates, guys have told me about family members committing suicide and stuff, where I'm like, this is so private, I can't believe... And just expecting a lot of advice off me without even asking me anything about me. Look, I might be just extremely unlucky with a lot of the dates I've been on, but...
Nah, definitely. That's an American thing, because I've noticed that in the States... You know, if you go on a date, the conversations get kind of like more intense more quickly, you know. And the other thing I've noticed about this might just be more of a modern dating thing, or maybe it's an American thing. It's hard for me to know, but they definitely talk a lot about dating on the date. And I hate that.
The Americans too?
Yes.
Oh, like as in previous relationships?
Not previous relationship, but more just kind of like, oh, dating's a pain, and I was on this date recently. Like they talk about dating on the date.
Yeah, that's funny. That's actually very true.
Do you think that's American though, or do you think that's just a modern dating thing?
I don't know, because anyone I date back home, that's so funny actually, because I don't remember ever talking about that. You just talk about like silly stuff and have the crack. Yeah, it was never that. Yeah.
Let's face it, the Americans don't know to have the crack. Can we put that out there? I'm not saying Americans don't have a sense of humor. That's wrong, but Americans don't know how to have the crack. Like, they don't know how to just ramp it up to fucking nonsense super quick.
Yeah, there can be a bit more of a serious element to it. You're right. Like, a bit more
The joke I say in my show, because a lot of Irish people struggle with... go to Australia, they come to the States, and they all say like, oh, the Americans don't have a sense of humor. And I always say, Americans do have a sense of humor. They just don't have an Irish sense of humor, in that when you meet someone for the first time and you call them a cunt, they get offended.
So true. It is. And look, that's my sense of humor. My roasting guys, you know, made them cry. So it's kind of like, we kind of slag each other. If there's an American listening to this, slag is like insult. But yeah, insult each other as a kind of way of love.
Yeah, it's just the way we interact. I mean, it comes down to serious emotional issues, but, you know, at the beginning, it's great. Later on, it's a problem. Anyway, I'm glad that we went a bit negative on the American side of things early on, only because most of the feedback I got on my Instagram was a bit more sort of like positive on the American side, negative on the Irish side. Let me just get through some of this feedback and then come back. I've so many thoughts on this. Helen Hegarty says, it's so cool how American men actually regularly ask girls out for dates in random locations, like at the fruit aisle in a supermarket, rather than the Irish approach of being shit-faced in a pub, or in fact, not doing it at all. I mean, I'd rather be asked for a date than not asked at all, but hashtag just saying. But I do think that's interesting. That's definitely more of American culture, which can leak into being a bit sort of like aggressive, but the sense of an American guy will ask you out like at the shop.
Yeah, they will.
Absolutely. Do you find that?
Yeah, I've gotten asked out on the train.
In an annoying way, or just like, yeah, fine?
No, not at all. To be honest with you, I haven't had it where it's been too aggressive. I actually went out on a date with that guy. Oh, well, you know what? Actually, he ended up kind of not leaving me alone for a few months and calling me and turning up places and turning up at shows. So actually, I should have probably taken him asking me out on the train as a warning sign. Maybe.
It's hard to know. I mean, I think if you're on the train and you just end up having a chat with somebody, and you enjoy the chat, and then at the end he says, "Hey, listen, add my Instagram, or you know, do you want to go out sometime?" And it just happens naturally. I think that's totally cool. I guess the problem is if a guy randomly comes up to you on the train, is like, "Hey, you know, you're so beautiful. Can I get your number?" That I think there's a high chance that he might be weird.
Well, I had one guy, I was dressed up as Ariana Grande for this roast. And so I was like looking probably the best I've ever looked. And I'll never look like that again, because I don't dress that way. But he came up to me and he was like, "Oh, you're so beautiful. Can I have your number?" And I was like, fuck it. I was like in my Ariana head. So I gave it to him. And then I thought, do you know what? I can never see this guy again, because he's after asking out Ariana lookalike. not the girl he's going to meet tomorrow. And then he called me a bunch and texted me a bunch. I ended up having to block his number. So I was like, oh, skidoo.
Anyway. I'll share some feedback from Nancy JBR88. American men just love playing games and playing with emotions. It's like they want to be committed, but not committed at the same time. And well, I've been with a Kerry man for 3 years now. And having someone be fully open, straightforward, and on top of that very kind was refreshing. Irish men seem to be less bullshitters than American men. And then there's an addition to this. Oh. Also, she accentuates the also. Also, American men seem to care way more what their friends or other people think. Irish men give zero fucks. And that's another distinct difference I've noticed. I have a funny feeling that this is an American woman who met an Irish guy. Either way, that's interesting. I mean, I would suggest that perhaps this is more down to like her personal experience rather than a sweeping generalization. However, how do you feel about that, Katie?
Okay. I loved when I read that, because I went back in the Rolodex of men I've been with and the few American men that I can think of specifically. Like one of them, I remember him pursuing me and telling me he wanted a girlfriend and really wanted, he was fucking sick of being like this player. He had a bit of a reputation to be the player. And he filled me with all this bullshit, and we went back to my house to hang out, but I didn't sleep with him. And like, now I didn't hear from him again. So it was bizarre that he kind of like, I felt like he was just telling me what he thought I wanted to hear. And then I had another guy I was seeing, and I was thought, like, because we were texting every day and we were seeing each other a good bit, that it was definitely going down a relationship road. And he was kind of filling me with what I wanted to hear until I was like, look, kind of, is this going to be a relationship at some stage or not? And he was like, I don't know where you got that idea. And so they were both, I haven't experienced that at home. When I've liked someone at home, I've always ended up, and when they've liked me, we've always ended up going towards a relationship, and that's what both people wanted. And out of like the three serious relationships I had back home, so I was found that very confusing here. Like, I was like, why did you even bullshit me? Why did you even...
Oh, so you think that's a good observation, that American men are kind of a bit more full of shit.
And again, that was just out of the this is just two things when she said that and it could have been this, like, it's hard for me because I'm in a different, you know, I meet guys kind of through bartending or comedy. So maybe if I were to meet like people who had like normal jobs and normal lifestyles and who wanted relationships, it would be different. But that stuck out in my head when she said that. I was like, Jesus, yeah, they're kind of, I was just so unnecessary as well.
I thought, I don't know about that. American men seem to care way more what their friends think. I don't know about that, but it did make me laugh because sometimes I've been in a few situations where like early sort of dating scenarios where something strange happens. And then I'll say to the woman, like, hey, do me a favor, run that by your friends. Because I'm like, I'm so convinced that they're like, you know, they're like way off. And of course, they never admit what their friends actually said. But I don't know if it's to do with me being American, but I often do sort of tell somebody, yeah, run that by your friends, because as far as I'm concerned, this is weird. And
I need- I'm I misunderstood that. You're saying you tell the girl to run it by your friends?
Yeah.
Oh, right, right, right.
I, let me give an example since that, you know, that maybe that wasn't so clear. One time I was dating this girl and we were it was getting pretty serious in the sense that we were hanging out all the time, texting all the time. And it was getting close to like, we need to make a decision on what this is, you know? But for some reason she was saying that she didn't want to make a decision, which was fine. And then one day I would text her and I was like, what are you up to tonight? And she was like, I'm not going to lie. I had a date. I'm not going to lie. I have a date, but I think I'm going to cancel it.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm like, my hands went straight to my face there. I can't even, why even share that with you?
Okay. So I text her and I said, why would you tell me that? And she's like, well, you know, I mean, I sort of forgot about it and he reminded me today and, you know, I don't think I'm going to go. And so I was like, yeah, but like either just cancel it or go on it and don't tell me, you know, either way, telling me like as if it's like, oh, by the way, it's just a bit weird. And she was like, I don't see it being a big deal. And I was like, well, listen, first of all, you know, you don't like accidentally, you know, like when somebody texts you like that day, oh, are you good for our date tonight? Like, how is your immediate response not, oh, I forgot about that, I can't do it, you know, because in the meantime, I've been having sex with this other guy like all the time and we're getting on very well. So like, why even make it seem like, oops, ooh, I forgot about this date, but I'm going to go on it anyway. But even if you, we're not exclusive. So if you want to go on the date, go on the date, but just don't like tell me. It's so weird, especially when you say, I think I'm going to cancel it. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? Help you make the decision?
Only reason she told you is because she was insecure about whether you liked her and wanted a reaction out of you, like to be like, oh no, I don't think she thought that fully true. And that's probably why she backtracked and was like, this is a totally normal thing to do. She's not going to go, oh, yeah. Well, I just want you. Yeah, which isn't fair. That's playing games, not honest. She would have been better off just going.
But the thing is, I'm like real upfront. So I was like, listen, like, I was like, you know, I was just saying, like, it's so strange. I told you I'm not like a jealous guy. I'm not going to be like, what the fuck? But at the same time, like, I am going to be annoyed if something seems a bit like silly, you know? Mm-hmm. So I said, listen, I said, run it by your friends, you know, run it by your friends and get back to me tomorrow. And I fully expected her to be like the next day, all right, I get it. I was a bit of a fool on that one. No big deal. I wouldn't have cared. And I actually ran it by some friends and they all had the exact, like literally every woman I told had the hands up to the face. And it's so funny that you said my hands are up to my face because that is actually the physical reaction that every woman had.
Yeah, it's shock. Like I felt that quite shocking. It's so yeah. Disregard of your feelings and it devalues what you have. Oh, I'm like, I had.
So sorry. I was just going to, in conclusion, right? So the next day she calls and she doubles down. She's like, oh, my friends didn't think it was a big deal. They think you're overreacting, which is definitely a fucking lie. And I was like, well, listen, like, it's totally fine because the truth is I was clear that I was happy to like turn this into like the next stage committed relationship. You've delayed on it. Now you've done this. So, you know, I mean, there was a few other like clues that she was a bit of a pain with this stuff. You know, she just seemed to have a bit of a weak point when it came to the silliness thing. So I was just like, I'm good. Like, I'm not going to continue it. And actually that was it. And then like 7 months later, she texts me to apologize.
But I just think it comes down to, you know, I had advice from my American best friend here and was anytime with guys, it's always play games, be chill, don't act interested. And that comes to, and I just think, I hate that. I'd rather, so I think it was a little bit of gameplay and I don't think.
Oh yeah, no, it was absolutely gameplay and I knew that, but I told her from the get-go that there's no point because,
But if that's embedded in her, that she thinks that that's the, you know, it's hard to, like my most recent man asked me a couple of times, was I enjoying myself? And I said, look, I really like it. You have no worries about that. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. And then he was like, oh, okay, that makes me feel so much better. But like my, if I had asked for advice on that before, my friends would have been like, oh no, just, you know, play a little cool, keep them interested. I'm like, fuck it. If you can't say you like each other and continue doing it, I don't ever want to date someone who will only want to date me because I'm being mean, or they think I don't like them, or I'm not interested or whatever. That's so bizarre to me. That's encouraging, like stalking.
What she did is bizarre, or the gameplay is bizarre.
I think it comes down to the gameplay, and she was trying to like test your emotions. And I hate that. I just wish, just be clear. And like, I think she was trying to get a reaction out of you. And I think to her, even you saying I like it, it would have meant more if you had gotten jealous, or if you had been like, oh no, and that's coming down to
the whole thing of trying to instigate jealousy in somebody. I think that there's an immaturity to that. And I also think that I have an immediate dislike for that action. I mean, it's really passive aggressive, you know, and that is just like, to me, the worst type of aggression of all.
I totally, like, I my ex-boyfriend over here, the Irishman I was just talking about, he would tell me he was coming home. I don't think I've mentioned this in the podcast, but he would tell me he was coming home, and then he would just knock. I would have to, for him to come back, I would have to stay up and let him in. So usually he would come back around 2 or 3 after work, and a couple of times he just didn't come, so I would have stayed up. And so that was more what I was more annoyed about, is the fact that I'm like getting less sleep. But the next day he'd call and say, oh, I just stayed in, like, you know, like a random girl, like not a girl that he knew that well, but like a new girl who had started working with him, or like a girl that was one of his girlfriend's friends. And I would always try and get a reaction out of me, but I'd be just like, oh, well, I hope you had a nice sleep. Now, I probably should have broken up with him at the time. But I just hate that. I hate any of that. I won't show my love through jealousy. I'll show it by like staying up till 2 a.m. and letting me in when you need to come in. I'm not going to fucking give you a reaction if you tell me you're sleeping in some random girl's bed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's very similar. I feel like he was doing that's so annoying. Can I just put it out there right now that we're definitely going to do an episode on jealousy, which we've talked about before. But one of the things I would love some feedback on from everybody is, do you think it's better to tell somebody a situation where, like, oh, I met my ex-girlfriend today by chance, or, oh, I'm meeting my ex-girlfriend for lunch, or, oh, this, you know, handsome guy hit on me today, or this hot girl was like, you know, trying to hit on me today. Is it better to sort of tell or not tell? And let's not discuss it now, because I think there's like a whole episode in this. But in case I forget, because we have so much more feedback on this Irish and American thing, that please send us some feedback on that for the future. Don't you think that's a good topic,
Katie? Oh, I think it's great. Yeah, no, I'd love to hear that. And I think
we're going to get into that.
Yeah. You know, you hear stories from your girlfriends and guy friends. I think it's a huge, I think it's a relationship ruiner, but
to see what people think. Can I get into a little bit more feedback?
Please, please.
So this, as I said, was from IOFAOD, which I don't know if people want us to share their Instagrams, but we didn't the last time. And I thought, oh, we busted out all this feedback and probably some people would have got excited. But American men usually come across as super confident and forward in comparison to Irish lads. Maybe crosses over to a bit cocky, creepy sometimes. Americans in general are a bit more confident and sure of themselves. Like, Irish people are very judgmental sometimes. If you're confident, people are like, who does your one think she is? Notions, which you've kind of joked about already. You know, we joked about that a bit. But what do you feel about that? I mean, American men definitely are a bit more confident, I think.
I feel like I only became confident once I moved to America and I learned from these people. I was like, I can like the way I look and walk and talk. And I don't know if that was just my own issues and just coming over here. And but I think that's true. I had a friend as well message me feedback about that as well, that when she was on her J1 here, she finds Irish lads are in need a bit of Dutch courage to ask you out. This was her quote. And that American lads, she couldn't get over the amount who asked her out when she was over there only for a summer. She'd never experienced that at home. And she said she wished that Americans were less straightforward, a little less creepy to a certain extent, and that Irish lads were more forward.
Really?
That was her feedback, yeah. That was, I got that actually a while ago.
Irish lads were more forward.
She wished, no, she said she wished Irish lads are more forward.
Oh, right. Yeah,
yeah, she said no. She said that she thinks they need drink to ask you out. She said they, it's like a confidence issue.
I would have thought, I've heard that a lot over the years. Because obviously I get, even though I've lived in Ireland way more of my life than I've lived in America, I definitely get Irish women sharing with me the fact that they feel that I'm a little bit different. And part of it is that, you know, more forward, more confident, and like more open to sort of chat about things. Now, long term, I'm a fucking disaster. But early on, I seem like a fucking dream.
Also, though, in New York City, like, or if you're going to these big cities, like New York City, for example, there's 8 million people. So if you ask someone out at a bar, the chances of you seeing them again as well. So I guess that helps a bit with the confidence. Yeah. But I have regulars come into my bar and they're going to come back for drinks. They have no problem asking me out or asking for my number. And if I kind of say, you know, oh, you can have my email, which is my nice way of rejecting them, they're like, they're so grand. They still come in, you know, so.
You know, all these creepy alcoholics are there. Yeah.
I know.
So this bit of feedback comes in from LB Rap. In my opinion, Irish men neg you off the bat. I am a first generation Irish American who only had one rule. No Irish need apply, because I couldn't stand the fucking negging until I met my husband, a Limerick man, who was the total opposite of the Irish guys I've met at the bars in Woodside. Once, went to a pub after work when I was single to have a pint and read a book at the bar. No big deal. Some fellow from Leitrim. Maybe should have been the first sign that he was a dickhead. This one is actually pretty funny. She said, some fellow from Leitrim, maybe should have been my first sign that he was a dickhead, says, what's with the book? What are you, a nerd? Can I buy you a drink? Where does that style of pickup work? In Ireland, apparently, or so says every Irish woman I've had this conversation with. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's funny.
Because that goes the other way with Irish women, too. They like to neg up top. That's actually what I wanted to talk to Aidan about. Irish women like to neg up top.
Yeah, we get a little bit roasty, for sure.
Irish men and women, they do like to do the bit of negging up top.
Yeah, and it's not good. Like, I've only learned that now later, that in, you know, I didn't even know what negging was until maybe I was 24.
And then you found out you've been doing it since you're 18.
Well, you know, and as well, and the guys I dated, kind of, you just, yeah, well, I guess there's joking and then there's just being me. So you have to kind of find the line. But negging, I guess, well, my example of negging, I remember a boyfriend telling me, that what is negging? I guess a boyfriend used to tell me my hair was not nice up, or you've got weird ties and weird calves and stuff, and but in like a weird, like, said it in like not an insulting way. I think that's more negging, where they kind of undermine your confidence.
Just in this context, it's just that sense of being negative in your sort of come on.
Okay, yeah okay, well, yeah, I think we're just having a bit of the crack, like, oh, you're like, oh, the state of you. I know the book thing. That's, I think he was just trying to joke.
I don't mean it. She's taking that term from the book, The Pickup Artist, but she just really means more the fact that it's very common with Irish people that they will insult you straight away.
I mean, that he said that to her, that pickup line, like, I've had guys pick up, like, Irish lads say that to me before when I pulled out a book, being like, what are you, a geek? And I've just laughed. Well,
yeah, I mean, like, I can't give any, like, amazing examples, but in my lifetime in Ireland, I can't, and this is, you know, when I was younger, too, like, the amount of times that a woman would come up and just, like, say something insulting as a way to start it off. It's a numerous, and I know it drives Aidan nuts, too, and it's such a strange way to start it off. I'll try to give this example really quickly. Now, this was after I had some TV shows, right? So one night, this woman comes up to me in Ennis, County Clare, and she goes, I don't know why all these people are coming up to you. I don't know who you are. And I was like, well, I don't know who you are either. So why are you talking to me? And she was like, well, I just know these people are coming up to you, looking for your autograph, asking for selfies. I don't know who you are. And I was like, well, I'm assuming that you do know who I am and you think that for some reason this is some sort of good way to initiate the conversation, but you'd be really surprised to find out that this happens all the time. People pretending to not know who you are. And it never works. And yeah. She was like, oh my God, you're such an arsehole. I knew you were such a fucking arsehole. And she fucking walks away, right? And like, I could care less because I just like going to cut it off. So what am I going to do? Talk to you coming up, like, you know, saying, I don't know who you are. Like, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes later. I was going to say a half hour there, but I think it was earlier. She comes back up to me crying. She's drunk, obviously. She comes back up to me crying and she goes, I'm sorry. I'm actually a huge fan. And I don't know why I don't know why I was doing that, but I just wanted to talk to you. And I don't know. I just didn't want to seem like a fucking fan. So I fucking said that and now you're pissed off. And she's crying. So of course I just started making out with her, but
that's good. Fairness now.
Well, I was happy to make out with her, you know, there's nothing there. But anyway, that's kind of an extreme example of the negging, but it is a weird thing where people feel like that's the kind of way to start it off, you know?
Yeah. Do you know, because I'm trying to think of, like, I know, like, the way me and my ex-Irish boyfriend ended up dating here was from slagging each other. Like, we worked together. It was the first day and we got in trouble from our boss because he was like, what is wrong with the two of you? But we were just like taking the piss out of each other and we ended up dating from that. But, you know, then it didn't work out. But yeah, I think the way that's, I don't know why we got off on that. We like a bit of crack. We like a bit of insulting each other. And that's a little different what she said did there. I think she was just trying to be cool. And kind of fucked up.
But anyway, just the last bit of feedback that I have is Irish male grooming in comparison to American men. American men definitely have better manscaping going on.
What does that mean?
They tidy up their stuff.
Oh, right.
Bit of clipping and...
You know, I'm so dumb. I didn't realize that they were tidying it up. I just thought that American men didn't have as much hair.
I love that.
It never occurred to me that they would groom.
You know, that's the promo clip right there. I love it. You know, this is true, man, because, well, first of all, I have tons of issues about the pubic hair and the eradication of pubic hair, which I've been public about. However, I'm not going to lie. Since I've been back in the States more, I have actually trimmed. I've never shaved, but I have just given like a little bit of a tidying up to my pubic hair from time to time. Not all the time, but sometimes I do just give it a little bit of a little trim. I'm gonna come out as a trimmer.
That's okay, Des. That's fine. A bit of trimming is grand.
But I do think that that's a bigger thing in America. But I also do think that it's generational too. I think younger people, even in Ireland, are starting to manscape.
Yeah, well, when I went back, one thing I noticed is a lot of Irish lads are dressing a bit better, a bit more like the Americans, less, you know, just getting a bit more styled.
Can I just finish on this topic by saying that, you know, in my very first, actually my second special that ever was recorded, I had a joke in my show about how when I first moved to Ireland, like, well, I guess when I first was like, you know, properly going out with Irish women, I would say, you know, like, do you want to go on a date? And Irish girls would be like, a date? Sure, Irish people don't date. We'll go for a drink. I was like, yeah, well, that's a date. It's like, I know, that's not a date. We did date. You know, dating was very much an American thing to Irish people a long time ago. And that has clearly changed. And I think it largely has to do with the apps. But like, Irish people are way more inclined to like go on a date now. When I was younger, like when I was in my teenage years, my early 20s, you really only met women when you were out and you got the shift, which is what, of course, this podcast is called, which you always tell Americans it means kissing, but really it means like making out, I think, is the better.
That's like tonguing.
Yeah, but like, you know, the shift is like, yeah, like, you know, making out. It's more than just kissing though, eh? It's like, you know, the whole package.
Is it? It's not riding.
No, it's not riding, but, you know, it's just, you know, did you get the shit? You know, I just think, obviously it is kissing, really, but making out, I think, is the better.
I guess I don't say making out. When I say kissing, I mean, like,
putting your tongue. Well, you're Irish.
Putting your tongue. What? I am Irish. Oh, yeah. Well, that's interesting that you said, because when I leave Ireland 23, 24. It would have been just, yeah, getting a shift after nightclub, maybe exchange a number, we'd hang out. There'd be nobody ever using the term date. And then when I came back and I was going to be doing a comedy show, a lot of my terms are always dating this guy. And I ran it by my friends and they were like, no, you can still say date, and we say dating now. And I was like, God, I've only been gone like this at the time. I'd only been gone maybe two, three years. And I was like, oh, so that term in that space of time, I had caught on.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it is a recent change. I'm glad that you said that, because I didn't want to put that out there and be completely wrong. But I do feel that it may have to do with the apps. I could be wrong, but Irish people definitely like go on dates now a lot more. I mean, you know, it used to always be you met somebody like when you're out and like you got the shift and then you got their number and then you started like hanging out. But the whole thing of like, I'm going on a date, very recent.
Yeah. And I do think as well, just the topic we're talking about, like the difference between American dating and difference between, so for me, let's say it's difference between dating American men and difference between dating Irish men. But I think being over here, it's American against immigrants. I find when I've dated immigrants over here, it's similar attitude to Irish and similar, not as expecting sex so quickly, not as, and just kind of getting my slag in a bit more. So, and I've dated different guys from like South America or like most recent is Eastern European. And like, yeah, I nearly class them against the New York culture. So that was something as well. Yeah, yeah, no, definitely.
South Americans?
Yeah, well, like, okay. So I dated a Colombian guy and I never had sex with him, but it wasn't as expected. I feel like a few American lads were a bit more pushy or a bit more like, come on, or like, you know, okay. So most recently Eastern European guy, I said, look, you can come back, because he lived in Jersey, so he would have to go home at 11 p.m. and I was like, I'm still having the crack. So I said, look, you can stay in mine, but I'd be very honest with you, there'll be no sex. And he said, no, that's fine. And I said, no, because I feel like I have to be super clear now, because I've had these situations where I've said that and the guy has been like, oh, but we're really not having sex. And I said, no, I'm like, there might be hot and heavy and then there'd be still no sex, so you'd be left very frustrated. And he was like, no, that's fine. And didn't. Now, we did get hot and heavy and thank God I hadn't shaved my legs. so I was able to keep my promise, even though I was nearly going to get rid of my promise, but remembered that I had really hairy legs, so I didn't. And the next day we still hung out and had breakfast and we went to cinema and we went for dinner. And I feel like any time I've like done that to an American lad, they've been kind of a bit more pissed off. And again, it might be just the lads I'm choosing, but
really. And let me ask you this, do you, in that scenario where it gets hot and heavy and you say you might be left a bit frustrated, do you like do anything else to them?
Nope.
You just leave them.
Leave him hanging. I know that's terrible, but you know, one time
I'm just curious.
Well, I have two points for this. One time I did go back with a guy in Dublin and I actually ended up having a one night stand, but I was kind of, we said we were just going back to have drinks and it just got hot and heavy and it was like I was moving to America soon, so I was like, whatever. But I hadn't shaved my legs, and I usually, if I'm going out on a night out and I'm kind of like, it's kind of like my set, like, of course, I don't think a lad really cares if you have hairy legs, but it's my little, I feel sexy when my legs are shaven. So sometimes I won't shave them if I'm having a first date, just as like a little kind of to stop me having sex. But you know what I did? I went up to his bathroom and I used his razors and I shaved my legs.
Wow. That's interesting.
So I thought about this with the Eastern European guy. I was like, I could just shave my legs. But then I was like, no, because I've learned over the years that as soon as I have sex, I catch feelings and I kind of would rather come back and hang out with me.
Yeah, I mean, which is great. At the end of the day, you know yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just a me thing. So I'd rather wait a couple of dates, get to know them. And then when I know that they will like me and want to be in a relationship with me, I'm like, let's fuck. But an American guy messaged me feedback saying like he just doesn't understand why I would bring them home at all if I'm not gonna have sex. And I said, well, you can't really talk at a bar, so if you just say you're having a drink or two, it's really loud, it's annoying. I can kind of bring them back here, we can have a couple of drinks or have a cup of tea and get to know them much better, and then it's fun and you're chatting. And
I think I think it's totally fine. I think you're you brought it up a number of times now. I think you're overly worrying about the bringing the guy back thing.
No, but just, again, that comes back to Irish. And I only bring it up now. I think I brought it up to you privately. I brought it up once before on the podcast, but I'm only bringing it back up now because that comes to the difference between Irish and American dating, or let's say immigrant and American dating. I just feel more pressure off the American lads. And again, that might be just the ones I've dated.
But I'm just curious, do you ever feel like that you would just like give the guy a hand job or something?
No, because I'm not really 100% confident in giving hand jobs. I'm more confident in sex.
Does the guy go to the bathroom?
No, he just sleeps beside me.
Just kind of like shuts it down and just like, is that fun?
Yeah, poor man, actually.
I'm just curious. There's nothing to feel bad, but I was just curious if the guy, you know, the guy's just comfortable just like shutting it down. Not that I think you have to give a guy a hand job, but like I always think it's nice. but there's no reason why a woman should feel like she has to, you know?
Yeah, but I just as well, it's like,
okay. But it is one way to ensure that despite your own rules about your hairy legs and how that'll stop you having sex, it is one way to ensure that the guy will fucking stop trying.
Yeah, look, I'm just more...
I don't mean it in the sense of any sort of coercion or anything. I just mean it in the sense of if you yourself are struggling with the self-control part, but at the same time, you're enjoying the intensity of the passion.
Yeah.
One way to sort of like lock it down or, you know, kill it is to get the guy off in some other way.
Yeah. I don't know if guys feel this way or other girls feel this way though, but let's say if you don't get off, and so you've had this kind of like hot, heavy kissing, like, you know, even if it's outside a nightclub up against the wall, or you bring them back and you're just like hot and heavy kissing and you don't do anything. There's something to look forward to then. Maybe I'm a bit sick. Like
that. Yeah. Guys definitely see it just like a touch, like just in the sense that like, I think men feel a little more frustration, whether that comes from some sort of male entitlement or just physiological reasons. It's slightly more frustrating for a guy physically, but that's fine. They can deal with it. But it, you know, it's not the nicest sensation, I have to say.
Okay, yeah, no, it's good. And look, I'm not saying that I'm out there doing that every weekend. I'm not. This was just the few times that I have.
No, I'm actually not suggesting in any way, shape, or form that you or any woman that does that is doing anything wrong at all. You know,
I'm scared of giving hand jobs because I've heard so many of my guy friends, like, I'll do it for, like, the sexy part or whatever.
Well, you can blow them.
No, I'm not blowing anybody until I... Well, here's the other thing. I'm terrified of getting disease. And also, I find blowing more intimate than bloody sex. I'm, like, down there, you're looking at me. Oh, no, I rather wait till that's all coming in the one package, you know? That's, again, that's a confidence issue when it comes to sex as well. Like, I really... And I think a lot of women have that, where we just kind of... We're just figuring it out as we're going along. And then I hear I've heard a lot of guy friends and I'm growing up kind of slagging off girls' hand jobs or, we're way better at it than ourselves. And so it's like.
Of course, a guy is going to know how to jerk. You know, like a woman makes herself come in like 5 seconds and she's masturbating, you know, but at the same time, like, it's just nicer when somebody, you know, it's a nicer thing when somebody else is doing it, you know?
Yeah, I do. I guess it never even occurred to me. It's funny that you're saying that now. I've always thought that they'd be like, oh, just a hand job, that's shite. But now that you're saying that, maybe next time I'll be like, oh, they'll actually really like that now there.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, it's all in the scenario. And again, I don't want this to come across as if I'm suggesting in some way that women have some obligation to get the guy off. I was just curious if you, like, it's like, because I do find that is another difference between American women and Irish women. I do feel American women, to some degree, feel a bit of an obligation, like as if it's rude to not get the guy off. You know, if you're in a situation where it's super hot and heavy and like maybe there's been like, you know, like some intense sort of touching and maybe even like orgasms on the outside, you know, I do feel like American women are more inclined to think that they should make you come in some way. Whether that's healthy or not, I don't know. But I definitely think that that exists.
Yeah, no, I get hot and heavy kissing where you're just kind of like dry humping and then kind of fall asleep or whatever. But I won't, if I were to go down now and start giving them a hand job or whatever, I'd probably be like, fuck it, I'm just going to have sex. So I guess it's finding, yeah, look, and look, so a lot of the time what happens is if I really like a guy and I'm just enjoying his company, I'm kind of like, I don't really want the night to end. So then it just leads to the kissing at some stage in the hot and heavy. Then I kind of have to make that decision. Look, if I actually do like him, I want to hold out with this for at least another date or two. And then it really, yeah, every situation is different. But the most recent one, I didn't. But if I had of, I definitely was only the legs being, like, I mean, I felt so comfortable around him straight off. And we hung out the whole next day and it was great. And like, I wouldn't be worried about kind of putting up I wouldn't be worried about keeping those rule systems as well. But I've had American guys fill me with bullshit. And
official, listen, when a guy thinks he's gonna have, like, when a guy thinks there's a chance he'll have sex, I mean, he will promise you the sun, moon, and the stars. I mean, there's nothing that will stop a guy fucking lying to you to get it, especially when they're in that zone where they think it's gonna happen. You know, I mean, you have to. You have to be ready for that. I mean, guys can be awful in that scenario. Yeah. But I just want to finish by I don't want to say challenging you because I'm not a woman, so I can't say how it feels. But there's something not right about feeling like not having shaved your legs is such a bad thing to expose to a guy.
Oh yeah, and like I think honestly, and I don't want feminists to think that I'm saying you have to shave your legs. That's not at all. It's just a personal thing for me. If it's the first time with a guy that I really like, I feel sexier when my legs are shaved or like my area is trimmed. Now I don't fucking remove all of it, but I like it to a certain extent, and I just felt a bit wild on both levels. So that's just whatever makes you feel sexy. I don't think it's fair to be like, oh, don't worry about it. You can be, and that's fine if you're confident with that. But I know what makes me feel sexy, you know, and that's something I just like. Like if I'm dating them, I won't care. But I don't think that's the pressure from the guy, and that's nobody else's. It's just something personal.
But I also want to put out there that I think women worry about it more than they need to.
Yeah, I agree. And look, I think as well, like I said it to him and he was laughing his head off about it. I was like, oh, it's so funny because it seems like I'm holding out because of morals now, but also I haven't shaved my legs. And he was like,
well, most women are identifying with you on this, but I would love a scenario where perhaps, you know, perhaps people didn't feel sexier because their legs were shaved. I mean, like, I'll just throw this out, but I lived in China for 2 years. And, you know, I was with Shenzhen for quite a long time, but I was with a few other Chinese women while I was over there, and they don't shave their vagina and often don't shave their legs. Now, I am aware that they're not very hairy and they're kind of just naturally kind of smooth. However, it was never off-putting. It's just fine.
Yeah, well, I don't shave my vagina now. I just keep it trim, but I've never done it, I've never felt the need to. Also though, my stepmother is very liberal and she would always say you don't need to shave your legs or whatever, but I don't know where the shaving the legs thing came out for me. Like when I was younger, me and my cousins were shaving our legs when we were 13 and I have blonde hair, so to be honest with you, he probably wouldn't even have felt the hair on my legs. I don't know what, because I've never felt the pressure about my vagina as much. I don't know where the pressure was, and it was something, and I laughed about it to him, but it really came into my head. Yes, so you're right. I don't know where that comes from. I think most men, like, I was funny. My friend has this great story where he was like, this gorgeous girl, and they're both American, and he was having sex with her, and he rubbed her legs, and he goes, oh, you forgot to take your stockings off. And she was like, no, they're my hairy legs. You got a problem with it? And he was like, no, I just thought we were getting naked. But she was very confident. He was like, I didn't care. But I was like, you know, she just handled it so well. She was like, no, I have hairy legs. And he was like, no, it's fine. Let's continue the sex.
Well, there you go. A lot of topics to cover today, Katie.
Yeah.
We've been talking for a very long time.
I think coming back to, okay, this is something I want to say, something I've learned over here, coming back to the being mean to each other and being roasty or being negging, like, it's fine when it's a bit of crack, but one thing I like now, and I like when someone's just nice to you and they care for you and they, like, say nice things, and I hope that's something we all get better with as well. I think what you were kind of saying about, like, wouldn't it have been so much nicer if that girl actually came up and been like, I'm a huge fan, you would have been like, oh, thanks a million, that's great. Or like, you know, recently experiencing where a guy was like, he has more money than me, so he was like, you know, very nicely picked up the check because he has more money than me, but then like also, oh, you know, just saying nice things and being sweet and being kind, and it's actually, oh, that's very attractive. Okay, it's okay for us to have the crack, but also to be nice to each other as well, and to take that away as well. That, we've been talking a long time, Jay's as well. Oh, you'll cut
it out. Yes, at some stage it has to end, and so just for our listeners, please spread the word. Subscribe on iTunes, everywhere else. We're trying to get this up on Spotify, but hasn't gone up yet, but I'm working on
it. Why don't they want us?
What's that?
Why don't they want us?
Oh, it just takes time to get up on Spotify. That's all I'm saying. Okay. But just that a lot of people have been asking. So do spread the word. We're on iTunes. We're on SoundCloud. We're on a lot of various places where they do podcasts. Also, give us 5 stars and leave comments on iTunes. Also, anything we ask for throughout the app, please send feedback to @DesBishop on Instagram or...
Oh, @KatieBoyleComic. And we've so many exciting guests lined up for the next while as well. So stick tuned for that. I'm really excited. And yeah.
Oh, yeah. So our next episode, let's finish with this because I want to put this out here. Our next episode is going to be with Shauna from sexshopper.ie talking about sex toys and female pleasure and masturbation. Well, also she does male sex toys. But Katie, is it true that you still have never used a vibrator?
Still haven't. But I did. Oh, so my friend from Canada sent me this like, female sex. Oh, and I shared on my Instagram because I forget the name of it now and I can't use my phone right now. But it was all about toys and pleasuring yourself. So I haven't bought a vibrator, but it did teach me a thing or two that I was like, oh, this is making my alone time much better. So
yeah. Here's the thing. Shauna is willing to suggest to you a good vibrator to start with. And right. If you're up for it in a tasteful way, obviously not live, just some a report afterwards, would love if you're willing to give a thought on your first vibrator experience. Is that going to be are you going to be open to that, or is this too weird?
No, I just have to wait till I go back to America. I can't really do it in my cousin's bathroom.
Yeah, no, but I mean, she's going to suggest it, then you buy it whenever. I don't think she's going to hand you one.
No, I go buy it. Yeah, but I thought maybe she'd want me to, like, kind of get back to her straight away. No, yeah, I'll go buy it while I'm there. She can suggest it, I'll buy it and bring it back to America.
Then we're going to talk about it on the next episode.
It's fantastic, that's great.
In a tasteful way, not like in an exploitative way. Like, here's vibrator guinea pig.
No, and like, another thing, when you said one of the things you liked out of the podcast, getting out of the podcast, another thing is that I want is to be able to talk about sex openly and with no shame. And I think women using vibrators is something that can feel a bit. So absolutely. I'll get it. I'll use it. And I'll tell you what I thought.
Oh yeah. And then finally, Katie's coming over to Dublin next weekend to do because she's doing a spot at my shows in Vicker Street on Friday and Saturday, which are sold out, which is how we're going to be able to do that episode together, not on Skype with Shauna, but also for our listeners, I have my next weekend shows are completely sold out, but the following weekend I'm in Boston and there's plenty of tickets left for that. And then the following weekend I'm in Limerick. Well, I'm in Killarney, but that's sold out, but Limerick still has some tickets left if anybody wants to go. Have you any gigs to plug, Katie?
No, just the Vicker Street. It's going to be amazing. And then I'm off to San Francisco to do an Irish tour. And it's going to be a week and a half long of just Irish comedians. So it'll be a lot of fun. I'll definitely be asking everybody to get on listening to us. But oh, I was going to say something there. Oh yeah, I'm just so excited about next weekend. My dad's delight, as she said, Des is a good man.
Oh yeah, sure. Des is high on his list now because he's looking after Katie. But sure, I'm only using you because I needed a woman, you know, to make it look like I'm a progressive guy.
Yeah, well, do you know what? You have been very good to me, so I'm very appreciative of it. So thank you.
We're only kidding around here now.
But still, on a serious part, and then I start crying.
Please go back to negging, please, Katie. I can't take it. I can't fucking take it. I'm so uncomfortable.
Do you know what happened? This is so funny. So my cousin loves you, and she texts me one of the days there. She goes, "Fucking Des Bishop show, fucking sold out." And then, sure, didn't I text her? And I went, "Oh, you know, I think I'm opening for him on Friday and Saturday." And she just was like freaking out. And then I texted her and I said, "Oh yeah, we have you in on the Friday." And she's just over the moon. She said she's gonna be handing out my business card to people after the gig, and gonna be telling them all about the shift, and she's just delighted. So it was really funny that she couldn't get a ticket, and now she's in.
Well, that's all happening, folks. So thank you so much. I'm not used to signing off with you. That's why this is taking forever, which is totally fine. But I'm used to sort of doing these on my own, but I prefer to do them together. So thank you, listeners. Thank you, Katie.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.